We've been discussing the two earlier forms of capital punishment that we were discussing, the two more stringent forms, skila and sreifa, stoning and burning. We discussed burning last night. We noted that stoning has 18 of the 36 capital offenders are punished with stoning. 10 of the 36 are punished with sreifa. All 10 of them are pursuant to acts of sexual immorality. And there's a fascinating comment of the Rambam regarding an issue that we've been discussing, that the witnesses have to be the ones to actually implement the capital punishment based on the pasuk Yad Ha'edim Tiabova Rishonah Lahamiso. And one of the ways that I explained it was that the witnesses have to be able not just to talk the talk, but walk the walk and really internalize and come to the understanding that what they're testifying to is a matter of the highest degree of seriousness and significance. And as such, they have to be prepared to implement what it is that they're incriminating somebody towards. The Rambam takes a little bit of a different perspective. It's not just a way of ensuring, the rectitude and the veracity of their testimony, but the Rambam takes a little bit of a different position, which has to do with capital punishment per se. And the Rambam says the following. I just noticed this today, and there are different versions, because again, the Rambam's Perush HaMishnayos was originally authored in the Judeo-Arabic, so the translation to Hebrew varies a little bit based on the version, but this is what the Rambam has to say about the principle that the witnesses are the ones to actually implement the capital penalty. Kvar yadata she'edim heim shememisim bi'adayim ezemisa shetiya, whether, again, it's skilas reifa harig or chenek, it's always the witnesses that have to implement it. Lefisha oso adavar etzlam emes, because they know the matter to be true, shehigu b'chusheihem, because they witnessed it with their own senses, right? Their knowledge, just a little bit about the epistemology of capital punishment, their knowledge is true knowledge because they witnessed it, as opposed to everybody else, right? It's emes, sheisigu b'chusheihem, v'hu etzleinu sipur devarim. But to everybody else, it's really a matter of a sipur. It's a story that we heard. We lend them credibility because the Torah says, al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. But it's not as if their degree of knowledge transfers over to our degree of knowledge. Just as it's a fascinating epistemological question about the nature of the truth. So what the Rambam is really asserting is that their truth is much deeper than anybody else's truth. And as such, they're the only ones, who could really implement the capital punishment. Who had slain to sipur dvarim, she'enanu yodim elamash shemanu mehem, lufikach, and therefore, tziva Hashem yizbarach, she'yu ha'edim emunin al ha'inyan. Here in the verse that I have here in the Gemara that I'm holding, he says, v'zeu inyan na'a, that this is fitting. In other versions of the translation, it says, v'zeu inyan nifla, that this is like a wondrous matter, where the Rambam is really exhilarated by this notion about the nature of truth. And again, the nature of truth differs between those who witnessed it and those who are hearing those who witnessed it. And again, we're relying on them and we've interrogated them. And it's really, it's a situation where it's not just trust, but verify. But even so, the Rambam says there remains a gap in terms of the quality, the truth quality, between the witnesses and everybody else. Again, the way that I was formulating it, it's really a question of ensuring that the witnesses are prepared in terms of telling the truth. The way the Rambam formulates it, it's much more about the penalty phase, but I think either way, it's a very fascinating comment. So the two forms of death, in terms of the mechanics that we're going to discuss tonight, again, because the Mishnayos present them in order of severity based on the normative position, contra Rabbi Shimon, which we discussed last night. So you already discussed Skila and Sreifa. Remember, they go into one burial plot in the ground. And tonight we're going to discuss Hereg, decapitation, and Chenek. So the Mishnah says, Mitzvos HaNeirogin Hayu Matizin Es Rosho B'Sayiv K'derech Shamalchus Osa. So the position of the Chachamim is that it's decapitation precisely the way that it's implemented by governments. In other words, the person is standing and he's decapitated with a sword. Rabbi Huda Omer Nivul Hu's Lo, that this is, again, a nivel, it's a kind of a denigrating form of punishment. We'll see what Rabbi Huda is really after in just a moment. Ella, so rather Rabbi Huda says, and this will sound familiar to those of us who've lived after the French Revolution, Manichin es rosho al sedan v'kotetz bekofetz, so that we put him down on some kind of a wooden platform and that we would actually, have a blade come down from the back. So Amrlo, they said to him, Ein misa minuvelas mizo. You're calling our form of death denigrated or minuval literally means something debased. They said nothing's more debased than that. So the irony, of course, as we'll see, is Rabbi Yehuda moves off his expressed formulation of the mission. He says, I admit to you that what I'm actually suggesting is much more degraded in terms of the form of death and what you were suggesting, the typical way that it's done with a sword, but it's based on my expansive understanding of a prohibition of chukos hagayim, that we're not allowed to implement death by sword the way that the Gentiles do it. So even though it says in the Torah, Nakomi Nakem, which implies death by sword, once the non-Jews do it in one way, the pagans do it in one way, we automatically have to do it in another way. And the Chachamim basically respond and say, no, you know, yes, there's a prohibition in the Torah of acting as the pagan nations acted, but that prohibition only relates to things that we're taking from them. But if it's commanded in the Torah that we should kill with a sword, we should do it in accordance with the principles that we've laid out and discussed over the last number of weeks. There's no reason to deviate to a more offensive form of death simply because non-Jews do it. So you have a fundamental machlokas here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda as to the expanse and scope of the Isser of Chukos Hagayim. Rabbi Yehuda's view is certainly a radical one, where even though something is commanded by the Torah, we have to implement it in a different fashion simply because the Gentiles, the pagans, performed it in that manner. And again, you know, in terms of practical halacha, there's a whole range of views as to the scope of chukos hagayim, but more or less we err on the side of things that don't have an immediate rationale we avoid doing because we suspect that they're somehow involved in, or they somehow emerge from idolatrous roots, or maybe roots that have to do with sexual immorality, but things that non-Jews perform don't become prohibited per se, simply because they're performed by non-Jews. And on that basis, you know, there's an entire rabbinic literature, vast rabbinic literature, as to what the scope of chukos hagayim is. Now, there is, again, you should just make a parenthetical remark, and the Torah is filled, Sefer Bereishis, with the avos, we just, you know, had many parshios where this comes up, offering various forms of libation and sacrifice to God on matzeva. By the time you get to Sefer Devarim, the Torah says, "Lo sakim lecha matzeva, asher saneh Hashem Elokecha." You can't build a matzeva. So the Ramban says, "Well, what's going on here? You know, the Avos used the matzeva," and the Ramban is again a very fascinating doctrine. He says, "Well, once it became associated with pagan practices, God says, you know, I don't want it anymore." But again, one could, you know, draw a very profound distinction between that comment of the Ramban and this Mishnah here in the view of Rabbi Yehuda, because that's already in the Torah, where the Torah says, yes, God has rejected the matzeva, but that doesn't mean that in later generations, just because non-Jews adopt a certain practice, that would make it invalid per se for us to do it. Now, of course, the irony of the Mishnah is, the way that it was formulated is that Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, because the Malchus does it one way, whereas non-Jewish capital penalties were implemented with the sword in one way, we have to do the opposite, because the process that he describes sounds exactly like the guillotine, right? So that's the irony, is that Rabbi Yehuda, you know, seems to be the one that came up with this idea of the guillotine, which became, you know, the most famous form of decapitation, I think, in the annals of human history. Just to finish it off, the Mishnah now deals with nechnakin, which we consider to be the least severe of the four forms of capital penalty. And I noted that according to the view of the Chachamim, Sreifa is really just chenek plus, where you have the witnesses pulling from either end, you know, till the person would be strangled. In the case of Sreifa, person's mouth will open involuntarily, and then you put in the molten lead or tin or whatever it is, some kind of a molten metal. And remember, Rabbi Yehuda expressed the concern that if you do that and you try to open the person's mouth that way, you could just as easily die of strangulation, and then you won't be mekayim the mitzvah of Sreifa. And we noted the view of the Rambam that all four of the capital punishments are actually mitzvos, that each one is a mitzvah d'oraisa to implement, and thus it would be a real concern. So in any event, the description of chenek here, of strangulation, actually matches literally word for word what's done with Sreifa prior to putting in the molten metal. Mitzvah sanechnakin hayu mishakin oso bezevel adar kvosav. Again, you put the person, stabilize them up until the thighs, and zevel, some kind of dirt, or zevel literally means manure, so that they would be stuck. Vinosein sudar kasha leso haraka. Again, in terms of pulling on the, you know, various directions, one witness on each side, we don't want to cause any abrasion to the neck, so we make sure that the rope is wrapped in something soft. Again, we're putting the person to death, but there's no reason to cause any undue harm. That, again, is the principle of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. V'korech al tzavaro zemo sheichetzlo v'zemo sheichetzlo. One witness pulls in one direction, the other witness in the other direction, ad shenafsho yotzeis, until the person passes away. And again, anytime the Torah doesn't specify that the form of death is skila, sreifa, or hereg, we have to assume that the form of death that the Torah is implementing is chenek. Again, the statistics are 18 are skila, 10 are sreifa, two are with decapitation, and the remaining six are with chenek. The Torah says, "Mos yumas tam misa mura b'torah," is indeed chenek. When it comes to Bnei Noach, in almost all cases, the misa which is implemented is again misaso b'sayif, is through decapitation. We'll hold it up here and continue with Hadlakas Neros to immediately be followed by Maariv.